A very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Today is 23rd June 2024. We will be continuing our sharing from our Heart Sutta book. We are at page 47, lesson 7. So as usual, we will have our puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall commend the puja chanting. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Bổn Sư Thích Ca Mâu Ni Phật. Namo Quan Sư Hình Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Hình Bồ Tát. Namo Quan Sư Hình Bồ Tát. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Amitabha. Namo Bhushyam Bhusa. Namo Bhushyam Bhusa. Namo Bhushyam Bhusa. Namo Dishan Wang Bhusa. Namo Dishan Wang Bhusa. Namo Dishan Wang Bhusa. Namo Pho Bhusa. Namo Pho Bhusa. Namo Pho Bhusa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Buddhang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Dhammang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata viramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adina dana viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Musavada viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Sura miraya majjhapamadatana Viramani sikkha padang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect triple gen. Buddhang pujemi. Dhammang pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Invocation to the Devas. In this universe, in their entirety, let the deities or Devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. this is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta chakavalesu atra gacchantu devata saddhammam muni rajasa sunantu sakamokkhadam Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Dhamma savanan kalo ayang badanta Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Namo atasa bhagavato arahato sama sambuddhasa Iti peso bhagava arahang sama sambuddho Vijacarana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati Satta deva manusa anang buddho bhagavati Swakato bhagavata dhammo Sanditiko akaliko Ehi paseko opanayiko Pajatang veditabo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Uyupatipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Nyaya patipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato sakkasangho Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakkasangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo Anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we shall continue from where we stopped. We are at page 47, part 2, Heart Sutta, lesson 7. Okay, so we are now go through. This is from part of the Heart Sutta, based on the commentary by Master Xuan Hua. Their English translation is good, very accurate almost, except some of the terminology they use in English is slightly different from the traditional Theravada tradition. For example, the prajna stands for wisdom. The traditional Theravada tradition, they use the word panya. But in the Mahayana tradition, they use prajna. So paramita is the same. Then there are other words that they use, especially the word perception, sankhara. Instead of using perception for sanya, they use cognition, which is also fairly correct. To perceive is to cognize. Although the English word perception is more accurate. Apart from that, I think most of the translation are very accurate. Okay, 2.1. There is a part from the Heart Sutta which Master Shen Hua extracted, and we also went through during our sharing about 12 years ago. I remember we started in the year 2012. The Bodhisattva, through reliance on Prajna Paramita, is unimpeded in his mind. So Prajna is wisdom, as you all know. Paramita is perfection. So this Heart Sutta is a very unique sutta. Its teaching is like teaching you about how this wisdom can be perfected. And the Heart Sutta summarizes the teaching very well, and it is very profound, very deep in its meaning, and not easy to understand. So here he said the Bodhisattva means Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, Kuan Zi Zai Pusa. Through reliance on Prajna Paramita, this stanza is important, reliance on Prajna Paramita means perfection of wisdom, is unimpeded in his mind. Because there is no impediment, he is not afraid, means no fear, nothing. And he leaves distorted dream thinking far behind. You can understand, in Mahayana, the Mandarin word is tian tao, means distorted dream thinking. Means when you are heedless, you think deludedly. So all this thinking which are not based on Dhamma understanding or right view give rise to distortion. That's why it's called distorted dream thinking. Like you are daydreaming. You are not really conscious or fully conscious or aware, and you don't have the wisdom behind, the Dhamma wisdom or Prajna. So because Kuan Yin Bodhisattva rely on Prajna Paramita, is unimpeded in his mind. And because there is no impediment, he is not afraid. That's why this distorted dream thinking cannot affect her. So he leaves distorted dream thinking far behind. Then through that observation, he insight into phenomena, see things as they are, realize the truth, and awaken. That's why ultimately Nirvana, he realized the cessation of form and mind. So here I explain, distorted daydreaming or dream thinking means delusional condition, inverted thinking, means tian tao, inverted. That is using the unreal, taking the unreal to be the real, and vice versa. So this verse is so beautiful. For those who can understand, it's really very beautiful. So what do you mean by taking the unreal to be real? You see, we live in our existential world, which is a condition arising world. That's why within the condition arising world, everything that arises are conditioned Dhamma, means dependent on condition they arise. Without condition, nothing arises. That's why sometimes we call it conditioned Dhamma, or causal phenomena. Phenomena that arise through causes and conditions. So these are the words that are often used. So unreal means, to those who don't have the wisdom, or deluded people, who don't have the Dhamma understanding, to them, the experience that we had in this conditioned world is like so real. everything that our senses can allow us to experience, like what we perceive through our seeing consciousness, our hearing consciousness. That's why they say the beauty of sight and sound. And when you go for holiday tour or watching all those nice movies, so there are a lot of beautiful scenery. Then sometimes you also can experience a lot of beautiful and highly sensational type of media, multimedia, movie, and sound system that can actually entice and lure the living being. So to you, it's like, oh, this is so beautiful, so meaningful, so good, and you like to listen to them, experience them, and like to see them, like those natural geographic about nature. Then nowadays they can even show you a lot of this type of video that they take while going on those trip. Even under CCTV they got a lot of this video or movie that show you the remote places of China, the frontier, the boundary of China. They really have a lot of very beautiful nature's video and presentation, and the nature are so pristine, so beautiful. Then they even introduce various type of famous places where tourists go, where the nature, the setting, the scenery, they are so beautiful. Then while at home too, we also experience a lot of good things. So to these people who don't have the Dhamma and the understanding, they will cling onto it, grasp onto it, and even crave for it and look forward to it. And to them it's so real, because they are conscious of what this thing is, and whatever they are conscious of, they experience them through the senses. Their feeling actually create that reality, that sensation. Then sometimes they attach and cling on to this pleasant feeling, pleasant taste, and pleasant, beautiful music, sound, even smell, fragrance, and then good bodily temperature. So all this can create delusion. Then the reason why this take it as real is because through memory they recollected them, and they deposited all this experience that they had in their brain, their memory. Then they will tend to recall those moments. That's why craving can arise, the good food, the pleasant feeling, the pleasant sensation, the beauty of sight and sound, and all these senses experience that can be really very enticing and meaningful and beautiful, and it is like very memorable. Then of course the other extreme also exists, like when you encounter a problem while living life, the problem that was expounded by the Buddha under the First Noble Truth Reality. When you encounter birth, old age, sickness and death without the Dhamma understanding and wisdom, you suffer. You cannot cope, because you deludedly believe this body belongs to you, and you start to cling, attach, and worry about it getting old, getting sick and die, thinking that this is you. Then as you age, as you develop disease, sickness, injury or uncomfortableness or traumatic disease, you become fearful, afflicted. So all these are the result of your lack of wisdom and understanding of the teaching, the Dhamma, taking the unreal to be real. So when we don't develop the mindfulness to be aware, to awaken to all this reality, to see their inherent characteristic, or we call it the universal characteristics of all phenomena. The first characteristic is of course impermanent, because this is a conditioned world. Everything is conditioned Dhamma, causal phenomena, law of cause and effect, conditioned arising world. Without causes and condition, nothing arises. And things arise and exist because of phenomena. When the phenomena exists and sustain itself, then that phenomena continue to exist like real. But when conditions cease to be, it ceases to be. So this reality and unreality, they cannot perceive it with normal consciousness. The normal consciousness can give rise to a lot of delusion, because for us, especially the human being, we are limited by our limited six sense basis. Whatever that our senses can perceive within those range of frequency that we can perceive, we say real exists. But when conditions cease to be at higher frequency, you cannot perceive, or certain type of thing that can be perceived through like x-ray and all those things, our eye cannot, because our eye is limited seeing consciousness. And this seeing consciousness is not like x-ray, it cannot go in. Then it cannot see beyond certain things that has things to obscure you. And the ray, the normal sun ray that gives rise to vision or seeing consciousness, is limited by what your normal frequency of sight can see. So not like x-ray, they can penetrate even the outer what we call the flesh and all those things, then can see your skeletal all those things. Then sometimes they can adjust, they can now they take all the like they can use the computer to slide layer after layer. So they call that there's a name for it, I forgot already. They call it one where you go for the scan, heart scan and all the scan, that type of machine you call it. I forgot the name already. Anyway, the computer technology, they can create the whole imaging of it. After they do all the scanning, then they process it because of the capability of this computer to do it. Then they will know whether there is tumor or not, and where the tumor is exactly. Then now the medical science, they can use all this technology to do the what they call microsurgery or keyhole surgery, and distant diagnosis and surgery. They can perform all this. So to the living being, these are the experiences we had. And as technology evolved and developed, our society become like more and more sophisticated. That's why nowadays information technology is very fast. Digital technology, AI technology is very fast. They can even imitate people, talk as if that real person is talking. That's why there's a lot of fake video and all this. So with this, it become more complicated. It's like everything become so sensational. It can actually affect the living being. The degree of sensuality has transformed tremendously. In the olden days, even my father's era, very backward. Everything was very simple down to earth because science, technology has not progressed. Well, after my father's era, my era, I can see a lot, I witness a lot, especially after 1980 onward. The last 40 years, tremendous progress, transformation. Then now, my children's generation, they are the 80s, 90s, the X generation, 80s. Is it X? That one is X, X generation, generation X, 80. I think X, Y, Z is 80, 90, 2000. Never mind. Anyway, they are born not long after they born. All the computer all come out already. Then, before they even go to secondary school, I remember the first handphone come out already, Nokia, all those things. Then from that simple Nokia, they got the smartphone. The first one is that one can send, take photo and all those things. The Alcatel, all those things.
No camera.
Oh, no camera. That one digital, digital camera first. It's a digital camera, not incorporated on the handphone yet. But later on, the handphone that can take camera, picture, all those things, you don't call that smartphone yet, is it?
Smartphone. Start taking photo is smartphone.
Oh, that is called smartphone already. Oh, okay. So, which means, with the advent of this technology to install the lenses, Leica lenses that can actually take very sharp photos and video, that era transformed the whole phone technology again. So, giving rise to what we call smartphone. Then, we can video call, we can receive call, and we can do a lot of things now, banking, commerce, everything we can do. Of course, with the new technology, new crime and new scam all come with it as a package. And when we go through the evolution of progress and science and technology, we start to see behavioral science transforming. Because initially it was just pure basic commerce, or I don't call it commerce, way of life. We depend on basic agriculture, then we depend on some small level of fishing and other things. But then, as the world population increased and the demand for food, living being, or we are human being, we come out with what we call the understanding to create a way of producing food. We call it the agricultural revolution. We revolutionize the way that agriculture can produce enough food. Well, in the early days when they talk about food, there is always food security, and they worry because the agriculture at that time was very backward. Well, now it has transformed and improved a lot. Then after agricultural revolution, they realize enough food, but not enough job. So what they do? They develop industrial revolution to create more job. Then after industrial revolution, they realize a lot of pollution. A lot of other side effects of it. Then they realize commerce, banking, everything were too slow. That's how they come out with the internet technology, the data, the information, everything. Then when information technology, IT starts to take off, we got the technological revolution. Then after that, now we have the next phase, which is the AI revolution. So all these are transforming the way we work, the way we do things, and the way the human beings, career profile. Then now there are a lot of green field, new field, or new way of making a living. It can be through a lot of instrument, which they call investment. Then in the early day was a lot of paper shuffling. Then now they come up with a lot of derivative, even more fantastic. Then after the derivative, now we have what we call cryptocurrency and all those things. Actually, they can come up with some form of technology or understanding of certain things. Then they can create a whole field for it. That's why now they got digital marketing, which is totally different. Then it caters for the need of society. As people become more affluent, they can have more money to spend. Then the need also increase. That's why we have nowadays slowly evolve. Initially, it's just basic facial beauty center. Now so sophisticated fashion. Then later on, they have what they call in the early day, I think it's mainly massage and all those things. Now they become more sophisticated. They take the form of physiotherapy or chiropractic or what. Then the traditional dentist and the modern dentist different, no? Now the dentist, I was told, can be very expensive, no? One small thing that day I heard, I forgot already, somebody told me. Last time they do LASIK for the eye, one eye, 1-2,000. Well, now it's maybe 10-11,000. My brother is the two daughter. Then even dentists, they call root canal and all those things, or what is the one they plumb the thing in on? They plumb the tooth for you one, called a very expensive one. I forgot the term. Now if you want new tooth, they can create for you, and they can screw it inside. They do the I don't know what they call it. Anyway, a lot of technology now, and they can check your gum and do all those things. Then they can fix your teeth when you are young. That one is called what, braces. Braces, they are not cheap. So all these are the result of evolution, technology. So what I want you to understand is all these progress will make life different. That's why for the non-Dharma practitioner who don't have sati, mindfulness and awareness to see the unreality of all this, you will definitely be confused. You will be like enticed and lured into this new, what they call existential world's high level of sensuality through your senses. You will believe them, perceive them, and everything is like full of joy and excitement. Then the other negative thing is, nowadays also you come to experience. Younger people are also having problems. Last time only old people, old age sickness and death. But now, depression, young people also had it. Then when they cannot get what they want, they throw tantrum, they cry, and give you a lot of trouble. Then the demand for sensuality, education, it is no longer like before. The earlier living beings or human beings that my father's era, then my era, we were more simple. But nowadays, with this type of evolution of the way our life has transformed, the cost of education, bringing up a child, is no longer like before. Last time, one parent can give rise to 8, 9, or 10, or sometimes 1,000. And they can just let it survive by itself. Now, they have to think, even well-paid job people, one or two, they already say enough. So, as society evolves, more and more of this evolution, transformation, will happen. Then without the Dhamma, you cannot understand. You'll be trapped in all this movement, activity. Then sometimes you are left behind because you don't cope with changes, like technological changes. Even for my generation, I experienced the banking, all those things. If I don't have my children helping me or learning all this, it's not easy, actually, not easy. Well, a lot of things now you need to go through the handphone, internet, the technology, even travel overseas, payment system, doing all the visa, everything. So this is what life existence is. So as we go through, coming back to just now, the Heart Sutta note, taking the unreal to be the real, that is the one, is going to become more and more difficult, more and more difficult, unless you meditate. You develop awareness-based meditation to be aware, so that you can awaken to all this unreality of form and mind. Then you can develop the penetrative understanding like I teach you all in the early days of the Heart Sutta sharing. Learn to see form, the unreality of form. Then only you can see beyond form. So all this, you need to penetrate with mindfulness and awareness. Then you learn to see mind, which is more subtle, not so tangible, not so gross. Then the unreality of mind, then only you can see beyond mind. Seeing beyond mind means seeing beyond the mundane consciousness, the mundane mind, to realize the true direct seeing from the true mind, the silent mind, which is from the awareness nature, to see things as they are, to insight into phenomena and to awaken. This is how the meditative wisdom and transformation can come about. If you don't have all this, you can't. That's why this stanza from the Heart Sutta, based on the subsection 2.1, is very beautiful. So now I read it one more time, then we will move on. The Bodhisattva, through reliance on Prajna Paramita, means perfection of wisdom, is unimpeded in his mind, because there is no more delusion, there is clarity, there is understanding. And because there is clarity, understanding, there are no more impeded or things to like obstruct you or delude you or to entice you and lure you. He is not afraid, means no fear, and he leaves all this distorted dream thinking or delusional condition, wrong thought or inverted thinking far behind. thereby finally, ultimately realize Nibbana, the unconditioned, the cessation of forming mind. So here, distorted dream thinking means deluded, conditional, inverted thinking, that is, taking the unreal to be the real, and vice versa. This verse is so beautiful. Then 2.2. The Han Sutta also say, all Buddha means Samasa Buddha of the three period of time, past, present, and future. They all attain Anuttara Samyat Sambohi, to reliance on Prajna Paramita, means they have to go through the perfection of wisdom. Therefore, know that this Prajna Paramita, or perfection of wisdom, is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequal mantra. It can remove all suffering. It is genuine and not false. That is why the mantra of Prajna Paramita was spoken. And Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, towards the end of the Han Sutta, he said, recite it thus, or like this. Gate gate paragate parasamgate bohi swaha. So this is the Prajna Paramita mantra. So this mantra, if you recite it, you will create affinity with Kuan Yin Bodhisattva. Similarly, the other chanting, like paying respect, Namo Kuan Si Yin Pusa, or Namo Da Zi Da Bei Kuan Si Yin Pusa, or that famous Om Mani Padme Hum, that one also, the mantra of Bodhisattva Kuan Yin, or Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva. So these are all the beautiful recitation that you can establish affinity faith in, then you can establish great affinity with Kuan Yin Bodhisattva's nature, and it will bless you, protect you, and guide you, and help you in many ways. Then the last paragraph is, here Prajna Paramita means the perfection of wisdom cultivation. And Anuttara Samyak Sambohi means perfection of Samasa Buddhahood. These are even more beautiful understanding. That's why the Heart Sutta is a very famous sutta on wisdom, because those who went through the perfection of wisdom cultivation will understand this Heart Sutta. Although it consists of not many words, but it's very profound. The meaning is very deep. Then 2.3. True emptiness is wonderful existence. That's why in the Heart Sutta there is this part, I read to you, where Kuan Yin Bodhisattva or Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva said, therefore, he concluded, in true emptiness, there is no form, no feeling, no perception, no mental activity or consciousness, means the five ingredients of form and mind. Feeling is Vedana, perception is Sanya, then mental activity or mental states, etc., is Sankara. Then consciousness is your senses can become conscious. Our mind can allow us to become conscious of what we see, what we hear, what we smell, what we taste, what we tactile feel and think. So consciousness in Pali is Vijnana. So here it's said very clearly, therefore, in true emptiness, there is no fine aggregate of form and mind. Then the sense bases also don't have it. The organ also don't have. No eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no bodily tactile or mind. Then sense data also don't have. no sight, no sound, no smell, no taste, no tactile, and mental formation. Then no feel of the eye means the seeing consciousness, up to and including no feel of mind consciousness, means thought consciousness, and no ignorant or ending of ignorance, up to and including no old age, sickness, and death, or ending of old age, sickness, and death. There is no suffering, no cause of arising of suffering, no extinction of suffering or cessation of suffering, and no noble eightfold path that will lead to the end of all suffering, and no understanding and no attaining or attainment. So for a cultivator of the Dhamma, of the way, when you read this, you become very confused. This is the Buddha teach all these five aggregates of form and mind, the 18 sense life, then about Puttujana, enlightened being Aryas, then about Avijja, about enlightenment, about old age, sickness, and death, then about the Four Noble Truths. But here he say, all this don't exist. So you will become very confused. But the qualifying statement is, when you realize true emptiness, that's why therefore in true emptiness, all this doesn't exist. Means this is the unconditioned Dhamma. This is not the conditioned Dhamma. In the unconditioned, all this that exists in the conditioned world don't exist there. That's why Heart Sutta is very profound. When you cultivate the perfection of wisdom, you will realize this. If you don't cultivate the perfection of wisdom, you cannot realize it. But to realize this, you must realize that nature within, which is completely empty. You remember last Thursday class sharing? Finally, after I explained the five griots of form and mind, why is not you? Why is not a permanent unchanging entity, and you cannot cling onto it, grasp onto it, and hold on to it? Then ultimately, I link it to all the four circle formation and teaching. Then finally, I ask you, if that is not you, then who are you? What are you? And how come the aggregates, they arise in you? So finally, they trace back to that nature. They think that pure awareness nature is there. But I already say, when you realize that, that is not a being. It cannot come out and live life. Then I ask, finally, who are you? What are you? We are within that unconditioned. There is no world, no duality, nothing. That's why you are nothing. You are nobody. That's why it's called emptiness. Zhen Kong, true emptiness. Where everything within the conditioned world is not real. Empty nature existence. So this world, true emptiness, is wonderful existence within the Heart Sutta understanding is very beautiful. But when you realize true emptiness, you realize the five aggregates of form and mind, 18 sense rhyme, together with the four noble truths, the first noble truth, reality, everything, they don't exist. Not real. That's why you cannot be affected anymore. You cannot be deluded anymore. That's why the phenomenal world of consciousness and form loses its power, collapses in front of you, has no power over you. And that is the perfection of wisdom, the profoundness of the ultimate wisdom that can enable you to understand life and live life. That's why you must understand both the unconditioned Dhamma and the conditioned Dhamma in order to penetrate all this understanding, to realize the truth. Okay, we move on. So like what I explained just now, this verse appear like very contradictory to normally taught Dhamma. Hence the beauty and uniqueness of the Heart Sutta. reason why it is always expressed as true emptiness is wonderful existence. 真空妙有. That is, when one is able to understand the profound true emptiness as taught in the Heart Sutta, based on the perfection of wisdom, existence or life become wonderful. We have no more delusion, no more suffering, no more misery. Then life become wonderful and very meaningful and very beautiful. Hence, there is no contradiction. Because on the one side is taught the conditioned Dhamma within the conditioned world. That's why I explained before. Reality exists within the conditioned world. The Four Noble Truths, the Dhamma, the essential Dhamma, all exist within the conditioned world. So, all this, they like exist within the conditioned world. But when you realize the unconditioned Dhamma, the ultimate nature's penetrative wisdom and understanding, then you realize true emptiness. And in true emptiness, all this you will come to understand on your own automatically doesn't exist. Then when you understand both the unconditioned and the conditioned Dhamma within the conditioned world, then there is the realization of the unconditioned Dhamma, which is the understanding of true emptiness as taught by the Heart Sutta. So this unconditioned Dhamma, as explained by the Buddha, is beyond thought, beyond mind. Hence, there is no words, no concept, no idea, and no this and no that, which imply cannot be spoken or expressed like the great Tao. As explained by Lao Tzu. So all these are the beautiful understanding, because when you look at the teaching, without the cultivation of sati, mindfulness, leading to the stability of it and the ability to penetrate that awareness nature, you cannot comprehend all this. You cannot develop the true mind to insight into phenomena, to see things as they are, to awaken, to realize the unconditioned Dhamma and the conditioned Dhamma. So all this is what the Heart Sutta is all about, and the beauty of the Heart Sutta. So after that, we move on to part 3. Here is the meditation Q&A, questioning and sharing of the Dhamma. So 3.1, review on the compilation of email. The title is Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. So this email compilation is not a book, but it's a A4 paper. You can say it's a book in the sense that we just photostat all the email that I send out to people all over the world where they hold some discussion with me in the early years. Then Kayamita realized that they were so beautiful, so they asked me to compile them, so I compiled them. And I make it into a book, but A4 paper. We didn't go for printing at that time. So that was in the early days when I first came out to share. I think 2004 I came out. Must be 2005, 2006 at that time. So anyway, I read to you, then you can understand. Brateo conducted a review of the compilation of email notes as written by him to various Buddhist groups and Dhamma friends in the early years with the title Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. Well, my nature, at that time, hardly anybody understood what the actual teaching of the Buddha is on meditation. So as to enable the cultivators of the way or cultivator of the Buddha Dharma to have a better understanding of the key or important Dharma as constantly emphasized by the Buddha. So my first section was all the important Dhammapada verses that the Buddha emphasized a lot. And when you understand this that I selected, you will understand the cultivation, the clear principle behind. So the first part that I compile is the importance of understanding Dhammapada verse 1, verse 2, and verse 183. Then verse 21, 22, and 23 on Appamadavaga, which I emphasize a lot. And the Buddha's final advice to all the monks before his parinibbana. These Dhammapada verses are classified under the word of wisdom of the Buddha. Immediately after the content page, introduction and acknowledgement section. So you can get a copy of this book, the A4, now in digital form also. You can get it from our website, brotio.com. Then part 2. The importance of understanding the true significance of the Four Noble Truths as expressed by the Buddha as the equivalent to the handful of leaf as emphasized by him at Kosambi in the Simsapa Grove over 2,500 years ago to the monks. This is to enable them to stay focused in their cultivation. Otherwise, the chances of deviation are very high and probable. This one, when you read that sharing, you will understand. Because the Buddha at that time, at this Simsapa Grove in Kosambi, he suddenly took out a handful of leaf from the forest ground and asked the monk, which is more, the handful of leaf that I hold or all of the leaf that is within the forest, means above the tree and on the floor, the ground. So the monk replied, oh, definitely the amount of leaf that is in the forest, above the tree and below the tree or on the ground, are a lot more than your handful. And the Buddha mentioned, likewise, he said, what he as a Sammasambuddha have understood and realized are the trees that is in the forest, both up the tree and below the tree on the ground. But what he has really taught them under the provisional teaching at that time is just a handful. And he asked the monk, why? Then he explained, well, these are the teaching that is conducive for the holy life, is it? For the realize of enlightenment in the here and the now, and to free your mind to be liberated from birth and death. And what, in fact, is this handful of leaf? So he mentioned and explained what are they. He said, these are the Four Noble Truths, and it's tree turning. Yes, like that was the provisional teaching to understand basic Dhamma, basic understanding of the essential Dhamma that the Buddha need to teach and transform living being, those Puttajana into enlightened beings or called Aryas. So that one, very beautiful, is all described under that section. And part 3. The importance of understanding what is meditation as explained under my email number 2 and number 3. So all these are, when you get hold of the book, you will understand the meaning. Okay, the next one, so we move it up. Number 4. So part 4 of the A4 science printable is the importance of developing the three types of corresponding wisdom of Sutta Panya, the spelling according to Engbi. This Sutta Maya Panya, the Sutta Maya, is only one T, not two T. That's why I think Sui must have cancelled one of the T. Then, second type of turning corresponding wisdom is Chintamaya Panya. And finally, the third type of wisdom which corresponds to the third turning is Bhavana Maya Panya. Bhavana is born of the meditative training, and this is very penetrative. That will arise, we are cultivating the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha via his first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, which is email number 4. Then the next one. Oh, no more. You can go and open up that book. For those who are new, who may not know, this is the book. You go to the what they call our broteo, broteoh.com. So you can see on the screen this one. So we point at the book. This one, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. A compilation of email as written by relative to various Buddhist group and Dhamma friend. Then you go through, Okay, here is a compilation. This part no need. Okay, table of content. So this table of content you will see. Initially, I have the introduction, then acknowledgement, then word of wisdom by the Buddha. So as cultivator of the way or Dhamma practitioner, if you are new, this book will help you. Well, this will let you understand clearly what is the real meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's why the title is Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha. So under the word of wisdom by the Buddha, you will have all those Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, 183, Appamadavagga verse 21, 22, 23 that I always share. Then finally, the final sayings of the Buddha before his parinibbana, the final exhortation. Appamadena sampadeta means strive on with heedfulness. Then after that, you have the email number 1, which is handful of leaf. Then email number 2, what is meditation, part 1. Then email number 3, what is meditation, part 2. Then we have the email number 4, which I mentioned just now. The three turnings and the 12 mode of the Four Noble Truths that give rise to the three type corresponding wisdom, which is Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya, and Bhavanamaya Panya. Then email number 5 is on how to do metta and develop vipassana meditation for beginner. So these are very useful for beginners or people who wants to understand the real meditation as taught by the Buddha as a preliminary understanding. Then email number 6 is also very good. Breath centered or anapanasati means mindfulness of the in and out breath, and the four posture cultivation. Yeah, this one was based on a request by a Dhamma friend who went to the States, and when he was there, he got a Buddhist society or group, quite big. Then they wanted to have some understanding. Then they had this seminar session which they organized. Then the monk that supposed to conduct was not free, so they don't have anybody to take over, and it was last minute. So my Kayamita, which was PK, he wrote to me and said, Brother, can you help? You write me a paper, he said. He used their title, Breath Centered Anapanasati and Four Posture Meditation. So I wrote him a simple paper. Then they use that as a discussion topic. That's how the email come about. Then email number 7 is how to develop calm and insight. Because initially you have to develop the awareness nature within, the tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, the silent mind. Then only you can develop the wisdom. That's why calm and insight. Then appendix A. Okay, I read through quickly so that we can stop there. Introduction. It's relative sincere hope that Dharma practitioner or spiritual practitioner, seekers, friends and meditator or cultivator will be able to make use of this enclosed short notes or email to develop a better and true understanding of the Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha, so that they may progress along the path of Dhamma to become more virtuous, noble and wiser, to benefit themselves and benefit others. Then we go on to the summary. The first email is handful of leaf. First email dated 22nd August 2006. I started coming out to share 2004. That's why I told you it's 2005 or 2006. So it was written to a United States based Buddhist group. And it talks about the handful of leaf as emphasized by the Buddha at Kosambi in Simsapa group over 2500 years ago. It also stressed on the importance of the Four Noble Truths and its straightening, or the handful of leaf as taught by the Buddha. Then email number 2, what is meditation, part 1. This second email dated also 29 August 2006 was written as a reply to a that there is somebody there, Mr. Something, I forgot the name already, whose inquiry on meditation. He explained the importance of knowing what is meditation as taught by the Buddha before you zero in on the cultivation. Then what is meditation? Part 2. There is a continuation of email. After I replied to that person, then I think there were many people who were very excited. Then they wrote back to me. Then after that I wrote the third email, dated this one. So this was written the next day, I think after that, to some Dharma practitioner from the United States based Buddhist group website, and it stressed on the importance of avoiding meditation question that leads to doubt. We are not knowing or understanding what is meditation. But I remember that time they were arguing over certain things. All the methods and technique and all those things. Then the final summary of the first Noble Truth and the third turning, or the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths, were introduced as topic for contemplation and reflection. Then email number 4. Three turnings and 12 modes of the Four Noble Truths. This fourth enclosure emails dated 30th and 31st August 2006 were based on a very beautiful question by a sister. It explained the three turnings and the 12 modes of the Four Noble Truths leading to the three types of corresponding wisdom, Sutamaya Panya, Chintamaya Panya and Bhavanamaya Panya, as taught by the Buddha via his first sermon, the Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. A copy of this Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta has been included under the Appendix A to serve as reference. So under that same book, Appendix A is that English translation of the first sermon, Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta. Then email number 5, Metta and Vipassana Meditation for Beginners. The fifth enclosed email dated 5th of October 2006 and 8th of August 2006 will return to a Dhamma friend, a sister something who wanted to learn how to develop the Buddhist meditation as taught by the Buddha, to help her develop the faith, inner peace and wisdom to live a happy, peaceful and noble life that is free of all suffering, or dukkha and unhappiness. This email gave simple but very direct and much focused instruction for beginners to develop both the vipassana or insight and metta or loving kindness meditation. Then email number 6, breath centered anapanasati and four posture. So this email number 6 was written to the Spencer Meditation Group from Charleston, West Virginia, USA. It was written as a complimentary on the breath center and four posture meditation taught by the Buddha for a 2-day workshop to be held on the 9 and 10 of October 2006 in Charleston, West Virginia, USA. This one is the Dhamma friend, PK. He wrote to me and requested me to help. Then the last email, number 7, is developing calm and insight. So this 7 enclosure email were based on a reply to one brother. Email circular dated 20th September 2006, inviting Brother Teo to deliver a Sunday Dhamma talk on the topic of meditation training, developing calm and insight at Kota Kemuning Buddhist Center. So this email spell out the summarized format of the ongoing weekly 3 to 6 p.m. Saturday meditation Kam Dhamma class conducted by me at Cempaka Buddhist Lodge. Okay, acknowledgement, I read this one also. It is the donor's intention that this enclosed notes be given free to all who are interested, and as such, we would like to take this opportunity to thank and rejoice in the wholesomeness of all those Dhamma friends who had donated and helped in the typing, typesetting, proofreading, etc. to make this free distribution of Dhamma Dana possible. With metta always, and may all beings be well and happy, and may they all too be free from all suffering soon as possible. We just quickly run down this. So here, the words of wisdom by the Buddha, Dhammapada verse on avoiding all evil, do good and purifying the mind. We are having right view in regards to the law of karma. So these are the important verse. The verse 1 and 2 are the twin verse. Your life, you decide how you want to live. If you want to be heedless and develop suffering, then don't train your mind. Continue to allow your mind to be heedless. That's why the Buddha said under the twin verse, verse 1 and verse 2. He start with the same format. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. If one speak, act and think with a wicked mind or unwholesome mind that has the three evils of greed, hatred and delusion, then suffering will follow one, like the wheel that follows the hoof. Then verse 2 is a complementary but opposite verse. He said, if you choose to train your mind not to be heedless, then the Buddha said, as usual, mind is a forerunner of all things, mind is chief. Everything arises from the mind. If one speak, act and think with a pure or wholesome mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, then happiness will follow one like the shadow that never leaves him. So very easy to choose. You choose to be heedless, do what you like, then continue to create the unwholesome mind state, the mental intention, everything that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion, then suffering will follow you. Like the wheel that follows the hoof of the cart. Then verse 2 is the complementary opposite. If you choose to be hateful, train yourself and understand what constitutes evil. So you continuously purify and develop the understanding to act, speak and think with a pure mind or wholesome mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. That happiness will follow one like the shadow that never leaves him. So this is obvious. Eh? Then the advice of the Buddha, verse 186, Dhammapada. All evil has to be avoided. Cultivate whatever goodness possible and purify the mind. This is the advice of all Buddhas.
183, you said 186.
Oh, 183, yeah. Sorry, I correct myself. I pronounced it wrong. Verse, Dhammapada, verse 183, yeah. Sorry. Okay, thanks for the alert. Then these three famous Dhammapada verse on heedfulness, Appamada, Vaga, is very important, are very important. And I have repeated this many times. So now I go through it one more time. Verse 21, the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful do not die, and the heedless are as if dead. So if you want to choose to be heedless, it's up to you, will your life, you decide. But if you follow that path, it will lead to death, means there is no more spiritual life for you. The heedless are as if dead, the meaning means spiritually, you don't have a chance to become enlightened at all. That door is closed. That's why spiritually, you are as if dead. The heedless are as if dead. Yeah. So when you are heedful, he said, the heedful do not die. So the heedless are as if dead is a very important warning. If you choose to be heedless, nobody can help you. Even the Buddha also cannot help you. Yeah. But if you choose to be heedful, Dhammapada verse 22 stand out. Distinctly understanding the difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, the wise will intend on heedfulness. And when they do that, they will rejoice in the realm of the Aryas or the Enlightened One. So this is very obvious. Yeah. You will rejoice in the realm of the Arya. Then verse 23 confirms everything. He said, the constantly meditative, the ever mindful and steadfast one, they will realize the bond-free supreme Nibbana. So this one is very important. It defines to us what heedfulness is. To be heedful, you must be constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast, means you hold on to these two practices. So what must you do to train your mind? You must develop mindfulness first, then stabilize it to be ever mindful, then use it to meditate, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path as taught by the Buddha. Yeah. So constantly meditative means constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path as taught by the Buddha. We are under the fourth Noble Truth. The Buddha explained very clearly. If you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering, means enlightenment in the here and the now. You no need to suffer anymore. That's why that is the meditation taught by the Buddha. If whatever you do in the name of meditation, whether it's a method or a technique, or object of meditation or what, then you experience from that meditation fantastic mind states, and maybe good experience and all those things. Then you equate it to enlightenment. That is a big mistake. Because what the Buddha wants you to realize is the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path. If you don't have the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path, it is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Yeah. To be enlightened, you must have the embodiment of the Eight Noble Eightfold Factors, which are only enlightened beings can have. So if whatever meditation you do in the name of method, technique, or object of meditation, or whatever name, but if it doesn't bring you back to the cultivation of the Noble Eightfold Path, to develop the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path factor, then it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's why you must have heedfulness to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, to realize the enlightenment in the here and now. And once you do that, the moment you are heedful, the heedful never die. Dhammapada verse 21 confirmed. And this is very clearly pointed out in the Theravada teaching, but very few people understand. So if you are not heedful, you don't stand a chance. That's why heedfulness is very important. And to be heedful, you're not only mindful, you must be ever mindful. Means stabilize your mindfulness until you are heedful in the midst of life. Means daily mindfulness very stable, not only in form of meditation. So that is the important. Then the last one is the advice of the Buddha. Dhammapada verse 183. Apamadena sampadeta. The Buddha's final instruction is still on heedfulness. You must strive on with heedfulness. And this statement is very important, no? You don't go and strive before you develop heedfulness, no? Then that one becomes effort to do thing, not what he meant. You must develop heedfulness only, can you strive on with the heedfulness to cultivate. Okay, so we see. Okay, so we end here. Next session we can share this part. Okay, so we end here. Oh, which means after that we will go through the email, then we finish lesson 7. Okay, good. Lesson 8 is, I think, after that. So remember the 4 support, especially the first 3. Relax body and mind. Silent everything. Don't try to know. Don't try to do anything. Then, second support is maintain awareness. Just aware. Whatever arises, aware. Finish. Don't create thinking. Don't allow the thought to proliferate or continue with the verbalization and the thinking process. So whatever verbalization or what they call chattering, they are the mundane activity of sankhara, our mundane mind. That one must cease or become very quiet. Then only the true mind surface. Then only you can realize the silent mind, the true mind, the awareness nature within. And that is your meditative mind. And with that, you just silent and let it develop the understanding. Then the third support is stabilize that sati or mindfulness or awareness that you have developed. Then after that, you can just stay at the heart area and let it detect whatever movement or activity via the 4 support trust. The other thing that you all need to know is there is a new book I sent out in our My Kayamita website, my latest book, the last book, Ultimate Realization to Transcend Life. That book is very important. For those going for the retreat, you can get it from me while at the retreat, or if you are free when you are at the Thursday class or the Tuesday class or Sunday class, you can request from me or Pamasuri. And for those in Singapore, you don't have to worry. I will be bringing down about 10 copies, I think more than enough for you all. If you need more, you let me know before I go down. Then for the other books, those going for the retreat, especially the Heart Sutta book and the chanting book, which are the main book, you don't have to worry. Before we go up to Cameron Highland, Sampo Temple, you can get it from me, my house. We have all the books. Then those from Singapore, you don't worry. Preferably you come to my house one day earlier, at least, to collect the books and chanting book. Just text me and let me know. And those who are staying opposite my house, walking distance, there is a budget hotel, I think called Smile. It's just opposite my house, maybe 2 minutes walking distance. You stay there, you don't have to worry. You will normally come one day earlier to stay the night, so that the next morning you walk over to my house with your luggage bag. Then the bus will be at my house quite early, but no problem. So if you come early, you can contact me, then I'll pass you the book. Then you want to have dinner together or what, you let me know. I was told Singhua and this Arlene and maybe Sandra also. Well, Sandra also, previous retreat, she go up, she always stay there. And she always come with Chia, come and see me, and we go for dinner, lunch. Then we together go up the Cameron Highland with the bus. So this year around, we will still have it, but one day shorter. Instead of the usual 9 days, it's only 8 days. But no problem. Once with that book and the understanding that you have to following all this sharing on the Sunday class, you will understand very easily. Then at the retreat, I won't explain it in so much detail. I will go through very fast. Well, I assume most of you all would have understood and can follow. Otherwise, I cannot finish within the 8-9 days. What I used to teach for 8 months or so, I cannot just finish in 8-9 days unless most of you already have the understanding. So this is for those who are new. Make an effort to listen to all this Heart Sutta sharing since I first started. I forgot what day already. Maybe about 1 or 2 months ago. Then if you have been following, then no problem. Otherwise, you go to the Maikayamita there. You can search for all the sharing. Or the website there, you can click on it and listen to it. Okay, so now I will let you meditate on your own. I will set the alarm for 45 minutes. Okay. For those who have enough, please come out of the meditation. Try to maintain whatever inner peace, inner calmness, inner awareness that you have developed for as long as you can. Okay, these are the mind states that you need to develop the daily mindfulness stability so that you can be mindful in the midst of life. Okay. Now you'll continue your second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever question that you may have, you can ask. Regarding the meditation or the Dhamma or how to apply all this teaching that we have taught you or share with you so that you can use it appropriately to develop the understanding of life and to live life and help you solve your whatever life problem. So all this understanding that you develop can also be shared. We call it Dhamma in daily life. So you can just come in.
Can you hear me right?
Yeah, very clear. Yes.
Sitting on two to Mr. Steele and Sue Yee
Yeah,
also.
Sadhu, yeah.
How to say the sati determined to be mindful. Determined to be mindful to develop this sati is very, really, very important.
Yeah, yes, that is true. That one is most important because without that, you cannot become heedful. You have to stabilize your sati, and the intention to develop this sati is very, very important, most important. In fact, I remember in the early day when I started, I tried, then within 2 weeks it come. When I make that affirmation, determination, when I knew that this is the way to develop the stability of heedfulness in the midst of life, so I went all out to do it. Then within 2 weeks the thing came. Then for the first time after that, I really understood what sati is. And when I saw the activity and the movement with my pure mind, the true mind, in silent inner awareness, then I realized, hey, this is what sati is, not what people say, not what they thought. Then from there, I start to develop the cultivation completely differently from what people normally do. There is no more thought base, no more verbalization. There is only the silent inner awareness that observe, that develop the faith, sadha, virya. Then when I pay respect, I do it mindfully with the faith. Then I determine to be aware. Then when I relax silent, I stabilize the awareness further. Then every time I come out of it, I realize that awareness follow me. Then whatever I do, the awareness and the movement and the activity and the phenomena, they are like one. Then from then onward, the understanding continue to evolve and develop until the daily mindfulness develop and become very stable. After 2 weeks, I start to realize what I need to realize. That's why from there on, my cultivation become very different. Yeah, good, Ingbi, that is the right emphasis. Yeah.
Yeah, because sati is so important that without sati, there is totally how to say, or I shall say, with sati, everything will fall into place and become effortless.
Yeah, correct. Become
But
effortless, become a part of you. Then it become like a new way of living, the heedful way of living life. Totally different from that. Then you realize you don't think like before anymore. All of the sankhara activity like no longer like what it used to be. Then everything like already different, transformed already. Then you not only no need to determine to be mindful after that. It is like a part of you. The awareness is already there. Then later on, when you cultivate further, that stability will transform again. Then a lot of things will happen, especially your heart area there. A lot of things will start to develop the movement, the activity, the sensitivity. Then you become like very sensitive. You can detect many things. That's how you open up your heart area and make it sensitive. Then the awareness is always towards your heart initially. Initially, it determined to be aware from the heart area. Then this awareness by itself, it will arise on, until it make you aware on your own. Until throughout the day, the awareness is there with you. And that transformation is a very important initial phase. That's why for those who have gone through the cultivation, they will know. Thank you for sharing that again, Amy.
Yeah, because once we get that sati feeling, that it's deep inside, we know what it is. It
Ah, correct.
cannot be explained.
Sadhu, sadhu. Cannot be explained, yeah. Because like I say, you do until the sati come, the form and mind will know. Other people cannot understand. The guy, the person, the cultivator who do until sati come, then you know what sati is or no. Like I used to share with you the analogy. Sugar is sweet. You can say how many times also no use. But if you experience that sweetness before by using that sugar, you add into your coffee, into whatever drinks you might be doing, Ribena or what, then you will understand what that thing is. Then when people talk about sweet, less sugar or what, you will understand what. No need to like use the knowledge that you learn to try to understand what is the meaning of sugar is sweet because you tasted it. So sati is the same. You develop until it arise, then the person who do it will know one. And no doubt one know that thing has become so established until you know what that thing is. You saw it, you realize it. And once you have that, your inner awareness become very different. And most of the time you are aware from inside out, from inside. Then everything you do, you are no longer like before. Just conscious and lost in thought on, heedless on, and do a lot of mental chattering, verbalization, daydreaming, all those like just now in the Heart Sutta, the what they call distorted dream thinking, no more. That one really, once you stabilize, no more. That movement, no more. Then the whole sankhara, like very easy to find order. It settled down very easy. Remember. Then later on, when the mundane mind collapse, better still. There is no more that movement and activity, the cause layer of the mundane mind that is very gross. The whole thing, just like a layer of consciousness, slowly, slowly, it finally collapsed. When it collapses, like something drop off in front of your forehead there, like a layer of consciousness just drop off, like completely disappear, that mundane mind. I remember, cannot find it anymore. Then the nature shine forth. Then the awareness becomes so clear. Initially, I remember the sankhara activity, the thinking, everything slow down and until you hardly have any thinking. Then because of the pure awareness nature after you develop the pure energy, it will go in and transform your internal movement activity, especially those who can stay at the heart and detect the gateway. Then when that transformation process starts to move and happen, I realize the consciousness become more and more refined, more and more refined, more and more refined, until one day when the pure energy is so fine, the mundane mind cannot stay, then it needs to collapse. Yeah, it's too gross, it cannot take the vibration, then it will just drop off. Yeah, but the process of dropping off take a while. At the forehead there, something will happen. So all these are the process or transformation of sati development that the real cultivator of the way that has developed sati leading to its stability, and throughout the day they can be helpful in the midst of life to cultivate, to develop the understanding. That process leading to heedfulness is most important. You must develop that. And do not be complacent. After you have developed it, don't become complacent and slack. Then it will, like, for a while, disappear from you, or no, because you don't become seriously committed to it. That's why complacency can lead you back to heedlessness. Not to say you go back to the old way completely heedless. No. You become like, because when your faith, everything is not stabilized, when you don't determine strong enough, like what happened to Pichi. Then you neglect, you think you already know, then you just go back to the old way. And then they will realize, hey, how come they cannot get it anymore? Then they have to start all over again. It's just like when you are making a spark, to spark off the fire, like the primitive manner, you got to roll that sharp thing with maybe a wood or a timber or a metal piece or what against something. Then you put all the dry leaves or even those easily catch fire on the dry coconut husk or whatever. Then when the heat reaches a certain temperature, and then that spark will ignite off. And you must reach that spark. When it ignite off, then the fire starts to burn. And then only you understand what that thing is. So the spark is just like the sati. The mind enters sati. Then you realize what sati is because you saw it. The activity, the phenomenon, and the awareness, they move as one. Your bowing also same, body and mind as one. That's like standing aware, walking aware, turning, bending, stretching, every activity and movement, the awareness is there. Then later on, your whatever sitting posture, lying down posture, whatever activity you do, the awareness is with you, the mindfulness is with you. That is the stability that you must establish. And when you can establish that, even Cindy also know, I think the one that came with Ingbia, she remember what I said, yeah? When you sleeping that time, lie down, then the first thing you develop is awareness when you wake up. Then the awareness, the first instant is the bodily posture, you're aware. Then every action, every movement, every activity, how you come out from the bed, you must do that. Then how you actually arise and walk towards the washroom, and how your hand, your bodily movement, activity, everything away. Then how you do all the whatever answering nature's call, everything. You start with that. Then later on, your daily activity at home before you go out. While you are doing your household chores or what, determined to be away. Then when you prepare for people who are working, prepare to go to office, maintain awareness. Then when you are preparing to wear your socks and your shoe or whatever, then how you get your key to open your gate and how you lock your gate, develop awareness. Then how you turn, stretch, move, and walk towards the car. Then how your mind move. Nowadays, car, they got alarm. You normally got to on the thing, then your car open up. Then how your hand go and open the door. Then how you move in and sit on the seat. Everything develop awareness. Then how you maintain attention, check your mirror, everything. Maintain awareness. Then how you start your engine. Then how all the consciousness come to your senses, then how you start your first gear, engage the reverse gear, then how you open your auto gate, how you move your car, then while driving, mindful, away. Until I reach the office, how I come out of the car, everything is away. Then how I go up to my office, open my room door, then how I do all the activity that I need to do, then how I observe what is on my table, what my secretary has placed on the table, or the say, and whether there's any note or what. Then when I answer phone call, also same. The awareness is there. How my hand move to actually receive the call, and how I develop the communication and all those things. And the awareness is very clear. You have to do until like that. Well, this is the initial stability that you have to establish. Until it become a part of you, until you are mindful, heedful in the midst of life, and throughout the day, the activity of mindfulness and awareness is with you, and then you use it to contemplate the Dhamma, to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path. Contemplating the Dhamma is initial, then later on, cultivate The Noble Eightfold Path. That one is another phase, I remember. Where contemplation is to stabilize our understanding, then to develop the first and second turning wisdom. Then after that, you move away from contemplation. You start to inquire and go deep into the cultivation, means what are right views. And through the contemplation, you write it down. Then you develop the understanding. Then the contemplation develop the stability of it. Then after that, it will give you the understanding of what right thought is. From initial basic, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and then you will know how to expand on it. Then you have to develop the mindfulness of all these mental factors that has the mental intention behind all your actions, speech, and thought process. Then you start to see clearly. Then you realize every time you violate that precept, or you have the evil root, you really suffer. Or then you put into practice. It's just like Dhamma investigation. That's why after sati is Dhamma vichaya. Then you investigate and realize it stand up to investigation. Dhamma pada verse 1 is true. Then when you have the understanding already, when you have the mindfulness and are able to actually start to develop the four right effort to abandon the wrong thought, to prevent it from arising, then you go to the right, third right effort to cultivate the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood that are still not in you. All those, you will expand on it and develop it. Then after that, the final right effort, the fourth one, you also have to have the faith to do what you want. Means how you refine upon all the right thought, right speech, right action that you have already have until it become a part of you, until you can more or less perfect it, until the Noble Eightfold Path has start to become a part of you. The embodiment of the right view leading to right thought. And the right view, you will understand karma very clearly. All the essential dhamma that the Buddha teach, the five daily contemplation, especially the fifth one, and all the teaching, the essential dhamma that he has taught us, you reap what you sow, do good because good, do evil because evil, you plant the seed of wholesomeness, you develop the result of friction of wholesomeness. All these are you start to witness, you start to see, and they stand up to investigation. Then from there, your faith becomes more and more stable until it becomes unshakable. Then it let you see you are no. Conditioned dhamma is like that. Law of karma is like that. Until it convinces you that this is what nature's law is, it cannot be otherwise. You cannot play a fool with it. You cannot be complacent. You cannot be funny about the cultivation of it. You become dead serious, but not in the rigid sense. That serious means you know this is important. You will do it. Then after you have developed it until the understanding or stabilized, then you will go back to normal again. We call it the third seeing. First, mundane seeing before you transform. Then when you become dead serious, you cultivate with faith and determination and all those things like what Inbi came to know and describe. Then you transform. Then you have the direct seeing. Then you can see things as they are. Kan san, bu shi san. That is the second phase. The first phase, normal mundane seeing. Kan san, shi san. After that, after you develop the direct seeing, the awakening only, then you continue to cultivate the daily mindfulness to develop the Noble Eightfold Path factor. Then you will have the understanding to transcend duality. That phase, transcending duality, is what you have to go through. Then when you start to develop all this refinement of wisdom that deal with duality, emptiness, understanding, and wisdom, when all this starts to develop until you have the pure understanding, then you realize one very important fact. There is no right and no wrong, no duality. Duality is for the conditioned world. The conditioned world will have its own set of conditioned dhamma, which is duality. Yeah. So, as far as we are concerned, to live life, we need to live in the world of duality, no problem. But the ultimate realization of the unconditioned dhamma is there is no duality. And then you develop sajna seeing. See things as they are. Thing is just the way they are. Condition like that, things will be. So that understanding will stabilize on, keep on stabilizing on, until finally you become so different. You just accord and flow. Accord and flow means what? Whoever come, whether he is enlightened or enlightened, mundane seeing, direct seeing, or gone beyond, you can communicate with them. You can talk to them. You will know. When they say, Kansan Se San, yes, Kansan Se San. The other guy that has the direct seeing awareness, Kansan Pu Se San, yes, Kansan Pu Se San. So finally, you become normal again. Where you have transcend duality, you have developed all the understanding. All these are conditioned dhamma within the conditioned world. And conditioned world has duality, has its own dhamma. And there is a set of law that governs that awakening and understanding. Then what you have realized within is the unconditioned dhamma that allow you to realize the true nature of things, the three universal characteristics, anicca, dukkang, and anatta. Means impermanent, suffering state, non-self, and empty nature of existence. Then you will have those wisdom that is developed until so clear, so stabilized, so stable, that you know each year you wave, zu mong huan pao ni, zu lu yi lu dian, ying zuo ru si guan, like the Diamond Sutta, that four verse of the stanza become very clear to you, no? Then you will not develop the delusion anymore. You no more argue with people. Well, thing is just the way they are. Condition like that, things will like that, only mighty nature rolling by. And everything is just following nature's condition, arising and passing away. Then the three period of time you see very clearly, no reality one. Past, present and future, although present moment is the only reality within life, and is the highest in life. But how stable is it? You will come to that clear understanding. Split second is the end God. And that is the only reality. So how real can life be? How real can existence be? How real can the phenomenal world be? But you will have all those understanding, stability, and finally understood the clarity of what life existence is. And then you see both the beauty of existence and the beauty of understanding the unconditioned Dhamma to transcend all duality, all creation created by the mundane mind. Then the four circle formation, you will start to go deep into it and develop the understanding of the awareness nature to continue to progress and develop the more and more, we call it the extensive understanding of what the cultivation is all about, following the Bodhisattva way, the Wu Liang Yi Jing, all those Mahayana Sutta, they will start to become clear to you all on your own one. That's why this cultivation is very, very amazingly unique and beautiful. When you do it correctly, when the transformation happens, everything is so clear, you know, one lead to another, you know, and you become so different. So this is the part that I want to add, because Envy has the condition to understand. Then this is the phase where It can bring forth a lot of understanding to those who are walking the path or developing the cultivation. That faith, that intention to be mindful, to be aware is very important. So stabilize the sati, then develop heedfulness until the mind enters sati and you become a part of it. Means the awareness and you become one. Then you can realize what that awareness is, that sati is. And then you will become different, you will transform. That's why I said, unless and until you can develop the stability of daily mindfulness until it become a part of you, you have not really started the real cultivation of awareness-based meditation. The real cultivation of awareness-based meditation only start when you are heedful. When your daily mindfulness has become very stable, then you can be aware in the midst of life. That every activity you do, every what they call mental arising, all become clear to you. Because without this stability or sati, you cannot cope with life. Every moment of consciousness, the seeing, the hearing, the smell, the taste, the tactile, and the thought process, they manifest so fast, they move so fast. Actually, it's more or less like lightning speed, no? You can like multitask, no? Everything just moves on. But without sati, how can you cope with life? How can you be aware of all this movement and activity? You can't. That's why sati is very important. And Engby sharing this is to help Kayanamitra so that you all understand the important aspect of cultivation, what to emphasize on. Well, last time I cannot hit this one hard because a lot of people will run away. But now, got condition and Kayamita has developed it. So with Engby sharing today, I think it will help a lot of Kayamita to progress and to develop all this transformation. When you are dead serious about this, after you understand the importance of sati, then you determine to be mindful, that is the beginning. And you continue with that affirmation, that faith, that sati, then that virya, everything will fall into place. That's why the spiritual faculty start with sati, sadda, virya. Then after that, sati will come. When you have faith, then you have the virya, then you sincere, you determine, then the thing that will follow is where you determine to be away. After that, the sati will come on. Then sati will stabilize and become samadhi. Then with sati and samadhi, you see things as they are, you insight in the phenomena, you will awaken, and you will develop the Dhamma understanding, and the wisdom, panya, will arise. And with these five spiritual faculty, your five mental hindrance will cease. Then your sati become easier one. You realize there will be more and more space between thought. Then the space between thought is your awareness moment. So when this space between thought become more and more, until most of the time you aware and you hardly have what they call the, I don't call it heedless thinking. By then it's just sankhara movement, very slight sankhara movement or activity. But before you develop this training, before you have the sati, you cannot stop the thinking. The thinking becomes so habitual, so conditioned, and so heedless and deluded until it created a lot of mental, what they call proliferation. You can either use it to live life, to worry about life, and to develop all the attachment, craving, suffering, leading to suffering, or some use it for knowledge. They develop the interest and they develop the research, the R&D, the career. So their mind is very strong, they use a lot of thought. So that one, they have, I don't call it samadhi power, they have the power of mind to concentrate because they are very determined. they have a lot of passion for that thing. Then they will do a lot of scientific discovery. It's like we all Dharma investigation. They do scientific investigation, R&D research, and development, and then they progress from there. So this whole process of cultivation that I shared with you all today is to let cultivator of the way understand the full picture. But this is the whole thing that finally the cultivator of the way will have to go through. And without this, you cannot progress the way it's supposed to progress. Once you understand all this and determine and do all this, you will progress very fast, very naturally. Like Amy described just now. Then like effortless, the whole thing will just happen, develop, and become the way it is. Then when you share with people, people may not understand. But never mind. Most important is the understanding of the advice. Then develop the faith. If people like all the other Kalimantan AB, they can do it, you definitely also can do it. So what is the difference? Well, you don't see the importance. Like last time, Po Cheng also emphasized a lot on this. Then even I think Song and Alicia, they all, those who went through, they all developed all this. Then they, through their own way, which is unique to their own way, they developed the understanding. And all this already unfold, and you all can actually witness it. Then those who started to develop the faith, how they start to progress, and how their life change, and how they transform their understanding, you all can see one. Even you look at Sui An, he is different already. A lot of things he has, the only thing he didn't really go seriously into Siddhi, the stability. But he got intelligent, right? He listened and he contemplate and he understand. So there are cultivators who are like that. Then like Sui's case also, she very good at understanding all this one. Well, they are more towards the IT technical side one. And the way they learn is different. That's why sometimes I look at her and I know I have to let her go her way, then bring her back to the correct final understanding. What she needs is like Sui An, stabilize that satya, then they were like bullet train, they progress very fast, then they transform inside. Because the initial understanding is already there. The only thing is that sati, that awareness nature. And through the spiritual trip and the last 4 years of helping, the sharing, the merits, everything, and they did the Bodhisattva vow and they make the aspiration every day. All these Kaya metaphors and their aspiration and whatever wholesome they do, through the pure wish or whatever adhitana or what, it will create its own movement and activity, and they will transform. That inside, where he came back and stayed with me for 4 years. A lot of different, their energy transform really a lot, like my wife. Because when they are near me, especially at my house, the altar here, that pure energy, that collective consciousness, my whole house, nature's energy and vibration is different. So all this will help. And Sui An and Mi Feng benefited from last time, the Thursday class. They are Rupang there. So all this, you can see for yourself. Then when those Kayamita who have progressed, they have the faith, they become very different. They do things very differently. Then when they do their sharing, it's very beautiful. Okay, so with this, I will pass back to Amy. Amy, you continue. Yeah, sadhu.
Sadhu, 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 right here for this special revision for me,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah,
not only for the beginners. It's very beneficial to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I was really how to say have a big knock on me on the this Dhammapada verse 23. Ever mindful, the heedful one. The heedfulness is what I say is training to
Path to
be
the
ever mindful
deathless.
first. To be ever mindful first. Then
Then constantly meditative.
yes, constantly meditative and steadfast one, the
You
steadfast.
must hold on to these two cultivation, steadfast. Then it will lead to all the Dhamma investigation, the contemplation, the
Yes.
stability or understanding, then the sati will come. So
Yes, yes.
all these are very vital, and this is what true cultivator will go through that phase.
Yeah,
That's why
this.
last time I remember Alicia Pocheng also. They chase after Alicia's case, they chase after the recording from Sui An. Then Pocheng one become very interested after I did the MCO Heart Sutta sharing, the 8 month. Non-stop more every day he was on the attending the courses so. Then after that when we are ready for the retreat she progressed so fast so. And even while doing the Heart Sutta she already progressed she was able to do better she very simple she listened and just follow instruction and she developed the understanding and progressed very far because he's a clean slate. He don't like go and think like normal people with a lot of conditioning, with a lot of past karmic obstruction and all that. She just have faith and develop that learning. And through his simplicity and the faith, he just follow instruction and the thing come. That's why he keep on telling the sister, Han, he say, just follow, What brother tell you just follow. Don't like try to kekian and go and add all those things. Cannot be. How come like that? How can you be so stupid? Once you create this type of thinking, means your understanding is not there. Your faith is not there. Then you have not developed it correctly. Then very difficult to settle down and going. Then sometimes the thought will tell you different thing or no. You will not for me I don't have the past brother Theo or all these people they have you give justification like that then forever your sadha your virya your affirmation all will not come because you believe you are a person who don't have I already told you all of you can be part of the kayamita you already have your past. The only thing you need to realize is every one of you, Pujian Tan, you have your nature, but it's at different stages and different degree. And a lot of you all with karmic obstruction, you have to clear them one. Then you have to make affirmation and go into all this. Then only the way can unfold and like develop until what it is today. Very good. Today's sharing is very good. Yeah, maybe it's another 2 minutes you can try to summarize a bit, yeah.
So this Dhammapada verse sometimes because I have been hearing from Baratio for so
Yeah,
background.
I keep on repeating this, especially the earlier day, Thursday class, yeah, I
But
see.
today,
Today I'm very clear.
number 23, why I very clear, knock deep into me.
Yeah, sadhu, sadhu.
Steadfast one, especially
Yeah,
the
that
sharing.
word stand out one. Because when you are ready, all these words stand out one. Then you recollect, no wonder people cannot get it. Because when you were doing, actually all these things were there. But people cannot see one. That's why Pocheng did a good thing. Have faith and just follow the instruction. Then that simplicity actually, give rise to causes and conditions for her to progress so fast. Very good, yeah.
Yeah, so being a steadfast, constantly meditative and ever mindful in the midst of daily Dharma living.
Ah, yes.
Meaning the formal meditation in the midst of daily Dharma living,
Yeah.
Dhammi, life.
Because after you do that, when your daily mindfulness fall into place, when there's a tea come, do you know what happened? Your formal meditation, like kacang putih, very easy one. The moment you relax, settle down, in whatever posture, your mind become quiet on, still. Because the sati take over straight away. Where you got no more mental hindrance. Because your faith, sadha, is there, your virya is there, your affirmation is there. Then when your sati come, you stabilize your daily mindfulness. You can see things as they are, and a lot of things that you never see before, you start to see. Then the Dhamma investigation, the contemplation, all these will stabilize until your mind become very quiet, heedful most of the time. Then when you sit, I remember, so easy, you know, and you go into stillness, silent to realize your silent mind, which is your true mind, so fast, you know. Then later on, when I came out to test myself, I remember in 1989, I resigned from my comfortable job and joined the hectic consultant. I want to find out how I will become affected if I go into the career line again, which is full of activity and work. Then I went in and test. I realized, no problem. Even after quite a tired day of like full activity of the private sector, the consultant, where you got to do a lot of things, then this mind that has the understanding is different. After it go through the whole thing, it will understand how the sankhara activity, movement, everything. Then it will be very sensitive. Then I realize when I want to relax and stabilize my mind again, I just need to sit on the whatever chair I'm having. That time I was lucky because being senior, I got an armchair where I can just sit like how I did in the sharing of the class or the retreat. I got a chair like that where I can cross my leg and just sit. Then I just relax, maintain awareness. Then the sankhara activity slow down. Then within 1 2 minute, it go back to the stillness again. That's why I came to understand all this. Then I tried a lot of things. Then it reached a point where the mind will tell you, you want to suffer? You go and read, you go and remember things. You can do all this mundane thing again. Then you will know, no, this one is for the conditioned world. If you need to work, you work. Then you need to develop all this understanding. Then once the understanding come, you will know how to move and evolve. That's why after that, not long, I actually decide to call it a day and I retired. So I remember after 1989, I didn't do anything. I waited for causes and conditions, but then very funny, you know. Not until 2004, only the causes and conditions arrived, maybe 15 years later. But before that, the moment Sui graduated, I remember the year 2000, I think she graduated. Then I decided to call it a day. Then I put in the resignation letter. I remember Labor Day was my last day of working. So 2001, Labor Day, I retired. That time I was just 47 years old, or 46 plus. But I already developed the understanding of the whole thing. That's why after that I retired and I do what I love to do, which is investment. Then Dharma sharing is whenever got condition. By that time I have my own earlier group of Kayanamitas too. But the real one only start in the year 2004. The 2004 Yunchan came, that was the beginning. Then after that, the rest is history. So all this understanding, they will manifest on. And when you go through this way of cultivation, it will unfold to you. And the whole process is very clear. Today one, you all should listen to it, eh? Those who are developing the cultivation, you listen to it again. Then you will develop a lot of understanding and clarity. Well, I almost summarize everything. Like Ingvi said, it's a good revision. Yeah. So, okay, I think it's already 6:05. Ingvi, you got anything else to add?
That's all. I
That's all.
benefit a lot from today's summary.
Yeah,
It's super
sadhu, sadhu.
summary. Very good.
Very
Thank you
good,
very
very
much.
good. Thank
Thank
you.
you
Let
so
us
much.
rejoice, huh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now we will share merits, huh? Akka satta ce bhubata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakkantu lokasasana itta avata camehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabbasampati siddhiya Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Devo asatukalena sasa sampati hetu ce vito bhavatu loko ce. Raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu 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 okay you all can now pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Guanyin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.